Paul, you've been fishing ever since you were a boy growing up in Connecticut. What is it about fishing that has always been so compelling for you?
I think it's a way of engaging with the natural world, not just as an observer, but as a participant. I mean, you're the ultimate alpha predator looking for food and trying to figure out how a natural system works. And to once you figure that out, you can feed yourself.
Your recent book, Four Fish, looks into the fate of four critical types of fish that we humans like to eat. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just briefly walk us through the fish you chose for that great book and why?
Well, what I was trying to track was the history of the sort of dysfunctional relationship that humans and fish have had, particularly over the last couple hundred years. And what I found was that there was a process of habitat elimination and overexploitation moving from inshore to offshore. So I did salmon first because salmon are what I call sort of the Chinese food delivery of the seafood world. They come to us. They swim up into our rivers. We have the most intimate connection with them. And because of that intimacy, we've done probably the most damage, eliminating stream habitat, dams, and the like. The next fish out that I chose were the fish that are very broadly called bass or sea bass. And actually, there are eight taxonomic families out there with fish in them called bass. It's more of a market name than anything else. But they tend to, those fish called bass tend to be near shore. They're not, they don't go all the way up into the rivers, but they might go into an estuary environment, a river, and they might also exist in near shore reefs. So that was sort of the next generation of fish that we had trouble with and overexploited and so forth. Next fish out were cod.
Cod.
And, yes.
Salt cod.
Salt cod, you know, white and flaky. But more broadly, cod are of the taxonomic order Gattiformes, and they represent fish that are further offshore, great, you know, offshore shoals of fish that became sort of the industrial fish that drove us into this wide-scale industrial fishing era that we find ourselves in now. And then finally, I did tuna because tuna are even further out. Bluefin tuna cross the oceans. Yellowfin tuna go quite far as well. Albacore, very wide-ranging. And those are the fish that have brought us into our present dilemma, which is that the circle has been closed with the ocean. There is no part of the ocean that we do not fish, really, anymore.
Your new book studies local seafood. Mm-hmm. One of the things you're very interested in, you've told me, is the plan by mining companies to, as you say, repeat that industrialization that wiped out salmon. Tell me more.
Yeah, so I looked intensively at a region of Alaska called Bristol Bay, and this is the site of the last great salmon run left in the world. And we're talking 20, 30 million fish that come into this system every year, worth, you know, upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars.
These are where they're wild fish.
These are all wild fish, no hatcheries, no stock supplementation, no nothing. The most wild, beautiful fish you can imagine. But currently, just as we did in the 40s in thinking about the industrialization of the lower Pacific Northwest, there is a very large consortium of mining companies that would like to put what would be the continent's largest open pit copper and gold mine right smack dab in the heartland of the spawning grounds of this last great salmon run. So, you know, that's to me this ultimate local food question. Do we want food? Or do we want minerals? All throughout the United States, this question, this choice of sustainable fishing grounds that exist on all the coasts versus energy and mineral extraction, this is going to be the major fight of the next century.
You know, to be fair, we need both, right? Mm-hmm. We need those minerals, I think, for our computer chips and things like that. Molybdenum is one of the things they're trying to get.
Yes. Do we need gold? I mean, that's the major commodity that's driving this mine. Gold, as far as I understand, is not really a key thing in building the future economy.
How about filling my teeth?
Not even anymore. I mean, right? That's all ceramic at this point.
Right.
This is about wealth. This is about money. This is about earning a lot of money for yourself. It's not about a food system. I mean, also roped in with the gold deposit is a very big copper deposit. But again, America, do we need that much copper? Most of this copper is going to go to China and to India, those rapidly industrializing societies. You know, it's a real, I think it's a pretty cut and dry thing. It's either our food or their money.
So what advice do you have for people as they choose what to eat?
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're in the Pacific Northwest, obviously salmon is a good choice. Right now, because we're at such a critical juncture with Pebble Mine and Bristol Bay, I think that Seattleites ought to eat Bristol Bay salmon. And generally speaking, most of the red salmon or sockeye salmon that you're going to see in the market is going to be from Bristol Bay, because Bristol Bay is really a sockeye fishery. So eat some sockeye.
Paul Greenberg is a frequent New York Times contributor. He's at @4fishgreenberg on Twitter, and his new book, The Fish Next Door, will be out sometime next year. Paul, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much, Bellamy.
I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.